April's golden trumpet sounds. All the saints will leave the ground. They are rising up to meet the blessed Lord. Oh, how they shout as they rise to their home beyond the sky. They're the bride of Christ and they are coming home.
Here comes Mom and here comes Dad. Oh, their faces look so glad as they march and they sing redemption song. Oh, what a smile on their face as they sing Amazing Grace. They're the bride of Christ and they are coming home. And here they come,
oh, what a thrill.
Here they come, marching up to Zion's hill. The victory.
Out of a heart that's been walking with God. And there's nothing more distasteful than someone trying to do it in the flesh. Oh, but when you have it in your heart, when you've been sanctified by the blood, when you live a clean, separated life, hallelujah, all you want to do is praise Him. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 6. Got a great message this morning that I'm kindly excited about. Praise the Lord for the joy and the privilege. It's a little bit warm up here because we don't have our air conditioner fixed yet. That meets my need. We got you maybe a little cooler than you like, but I'm hotter than I like. So let's balance it out, okay? Hopefully we have someone will fix it this week. Appreciate some money coming in last week. But these things are so expensive. All right. The book of Joshua 6:1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I've given thee into thine hands Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seventh priest shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest, and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Now, here is a text of scripture that is really a miracle text. Following the sequence of the sevens of the Bible, here God tells his servant Joshua to march the city seven times, one time a day for 7 days. But on the seventh day, don't quit with one march. March seven times, 7 days, seven times. Now this is a big mob of people. There's a lot of them, millions. And he said seven of your priests are to take a ram's horn, and they're to march. So there's 7 days, 7 days on the seventh day, and seven priests and seven ram's horns. And they are to march that seventh day, and when the time comes that the seventh march is in motion, maybe completed, doesn't say for sure, but at least in motion, they're to blow those ram's horns with a loud blast, and the people are all to shout. And the city walls will fall flat. Father, how we today fight in our flesh. How we today put on a show with our flesh. And much of the church world is but a show of flesh. And yet the early people of thine understood that the battle was not theirs, it was thine. And while shouting is so wonderful and praise is so grand, we understand, oh God, that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And anoint me to preach this morning this beautiful Bible truth in Jesus' name. And amen. And you may be seated. I'm preaching this morning on the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. I preached by that title some years ago using the great story of David and Goliath. But this morning, though I may mention that and probably will, I want you to understand this comes out of this text and this story of Joshua, the children of Israel. They had just marched across from the wilderness. They'd come across the Jordan River. They're now at the edge of the promised land. This stronghold of much military power is now before them and must be conquered. It's got to be a victory in Jericho. They could not dare march through the promised land with the armies of Jericho behind them. The armies of Jericho had to be taken care of at the front end. And so it is a beautiful scene, and it's a great story. But I want you to think about this title. This title of this message. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. I think that nothing is more important for us to grasp today than the helplessness of man in the spiritual war that we are in. The helplessness of man. If we do not discover how helpless we are in winning these victories of the kingdom, and helpless even in being victorious in our walk with Christ ourselves, if we do not come to understand that we are not saved by some good works of ours, we're not saved by some good fruit of ours, we're not saved by anything we possess, our salvation is absolutely and utterly of the Lord. He is the source of our victory. We are helpless. We are helpless. And I'm finding out at my age that if ever I have sensed and knew and know and understand and every day remember that the battle is not mine. The battle is not something I'm capable of. The battle is not mine to fight. But God doesn't just fight it for me while I sit in a rocking chair. You see, we serve a big God, a wonderful, a great, a mighty God, a holy God. We serve a God of great strength and power. And there really is nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing that God cannot do, that God cannot accomplish. I want you to understand that. But you must understand that God does nothing in his great victories without using his people. Now this is something that must become a part of this message, because there is a tendency that we swing from one end of the pendulum to the other. We either try to do it ourselves, or we think that God will just do it all while we are even uninvolved. And so I'm trying to bring you a message this morning of the balance that must be discovered in the great victories that the church is desperate for, and that your life is desperate for. You understand that you're not going to get to heaven without passing through some bloody seas. You're not going to get to heaven without passing through some dark nights. You're not going to get to heaven without some times of trial and tribulation. You're not going to get to heaven unless you are willing to learn the great secrets and the great stories of Holy Scripture. You've got to learn what this Bible teaches. And we've got to learn to do things God's way. Oh, it's so important, church. It's so important, church, that we learn the battle is the Lord's, but that we learn also that along with the battle being the Lord's, there is a place for you and a place for I. Let's go over in the New Testament to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, one of the great lessons that Apostle Paul was teaching the early church must fit in to our understanding. Now, you know that battle. That battle at Joshua at Jericho was a tremendous victory. And you know that when the walls came down, they didn't touch those walls to knock them down. They did not touch those walls to knock them down. They didn't push them down. They didn't dig a trench under them and cause them to collapse. Those walls fell by God's power. But God's people had done their part of this great victory. They had obeyed the hand of God. They had been instruments in His care. They had shown themselves as to be fearless. Now you'll notice earlier, he said of that city that it was a place of great warriors that were very, 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 very real. He spoke of their valor. He spoke of their valor. That's God talking of Jericho and the soldiers of that city and of their valor. So these people of God didn't come to this city without knowing they were in for one big struggle if God let them have to fight. No question about it. So we see the victory was won because they did their part and then God did the great thing. Now here we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now you got to get that verse. Though we walk in the flesh, our part of this battle is in the flesh. We're obedient believers. We praise the Lord. We serve Him. We obey Him. We do what He calls us to do. We walk in the flesh. We walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. So we are in the flesh in this battle. And the flesh is our responsibility to discipline and to give obedience in. The flesh is our responsibility to please Him, to obey Him. You know what? One of the greatest battles going on in the church world today is a battle against legalism. That word is really big out there in the compromised world, legalism. Hey, don't be careful. Be careful. If you start keeping God's commandments, you're just going to become a legalist. And I'm thinking, how in the world do you make keeping God's commandments a legalistic thing? Well, you would make it thus if you'd never been born again and you thought you were going to save yourself by keeping God's commandments. That would be a form of legalism. But I'm saved. I've been made a new creature. I've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus. I've learned the glory and the beauty of this holy Bible. So my keeping God's commandments don't have a thing to do with legalism. It's simply obedience. It's the love that I have for God in my heart. It's the love I have for that Bible. It's the devotion I have to the Holy Scripture. So living by God's commandments as a born-again Christian can never be called legalism. Do you understand that? Man, that's so important for me to get across this morning, very much. But listen to this. He says, though we walk in the flesh. In other words, he was admitting that we're keeping this laws of God in our flesh. We're doing God's will in our flesh. We're serving the mighty God in our flesh. But when it comes to our battles, and when it comes to those things that we need God's help in, those things we depend on God. Hallelujah. Are you getting it? Are you understanding? So he says in the very next verse, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Are we in the war all right? We're fighting all right. Hey, we're fighting all right. We're in the war all right. But the weapons we're using are not the weapons of our flesh. Hallelujah. Do you get the message? You know, I'm kind of concerned that you get what I'm saying this morning, because we're in a world that's going crazy. I mean, it's topsy-turvy. It's upside down. It's all out of order. But you got to hear what he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not fighting with this flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So here's a man walking in a body that's limited and living a life in this human flesh that is dependent on the grace of God every day. That's living by the word of God with all his heart, doing those things that please God to the best of one's ability. But he's plainly saying to them, though we walk in the flesh and though we are busy in the flesh, our war is not fought in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I want to tell you something. There's some strongholds all around every one of you. If you got your eyes open and you understand the spiritual realm, you're going to see strongholds almost every day of your walk, every day of your life. You're going to see things, my, and you think to yourself, wow, I can't, what am I going to do about that? How can I handle that? If you don't be careful, the old flesh will kick in. And you'll start trying to do it with the old flesh. And that's when you're about to fail. That's when you're about to get ahead of things. That's when you're about to take things in your own hands. That's when you're about to do damage to this whole business. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care how big it is. I don't care how mighty it seems. I don't care how big that old devil coming in your face seems to be. You just reach up and get a hold of God. Hallelujah. And you get a hold of that sweet armor of the Holy Ghost, and you get a hold of that sweet sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. This old holy book, the Bible calls it a sword. Hallelujah. The sword of the word of God. If you learn to trust this truth of God's word, you can take this sword and march into the devil's territory and defeat anything out there. Oh, hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, casting down imaginations. I have some of the craziest imaginations that come against me. It seems foolish to me. Wake up in the middle of the night and something is coming at my mind, and I think to myself, where did that come from? I shouldn't even ask, where did it come from? I should understand the devil enough to know that what he brings is often foolish and ridiculous and just absolutely uncalled for, and it seems so off the wall, it seems so out of order. But I've learned that all I got to do is submit myself to God and then resist the devil, and he will flee from me. How many times lately have I submitted myself to God, and then I would resist the devil, and things that was coming at my mind would vanish into the midair. Thin air, just gone. Hallelujah. Have you learned that? Have you learned that these old strongholds that come against you, if you will first submit yourself to God? See, you're not fighting in your flesh, so you submit yourself to God. You're not battling by the power of the flesh, so you submit yourself to God. You don't even pull the sword out of its sheath until you first submitted yourself to God. You don't reach and get this holy sword until you first submit yourself to God. And once you submit to God, and you really do it, and you really mean it, and you really are serious and sincere, then grab the sword and go for it. Hallelujah. That seems so real to me. That seems so real to me. Because it is real. I want you to understand that. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Your thought life is one of the biggest struggles of your life. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, adults. Listen to me, saints of God. Listen to me, young Christians. Listen to me. I want you to know something. The biggest battles you've got's right up here. The biggest war you got is all that junk going through your mind. Sometimes it's pride and carnality and self exhortation, all kinds of things that come against that old mind of yours. And you better learn those imaginations come from a source, and that source don't pay you no attention, but it listens to God. Hallelujah! So reach and get the sword of the Spirit. So you're learning. You must learn. You must learn that you are part of this great experience. You're part of this great war. But you're not the instrument of defeat to the devil. You're simply an instrument of God's service. And God using. Oh, that God may use us for his glory. Oh, that God may make us what he wants us to be. Now, do you understand the helplessness of man? That's the first thing you got to understand. This story is powerful. If those Jewish men, priests, Joshua and all the crowd, marching around Jericho, were just in the flesh, and there was no dependency on God, and no word had come from God, they're just doing their own thing, not a thing would have happened. That city would likely be still standing today. There is a city there, by the way, today. I want to tell you, church, God knows that we are helpless, and we've got to know that we're helpless. You see, we can do nothing without God. But don't miss that. God will do nothing without us. Hey, now raise your right hand up. I want you to hear this. Listen to me. Are you listening real carefully? We can do nothing without God. But God will do nothing without us. You say, oh, I don't understand that. Well, there are things that God does. He don't need us. We're not involved in it. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about what God's called you for. I'm talking about your walk with God, your ministry, the things you're doing. God does nothing without you. The Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own flesh. The Bible gives a lot of things to us that we need to take serious because they show us that God needs us. And God does things with us and through us. But that can fail if we don't have the right attitude toward God. And we're not totally and utterly dependent on God. Now the power of God in a human life is an incredible thing. I think we'll go to the book of 1 Samuel for that. Because David is an excellent example of the power of God in a man. In a boy, should I say. Just a young lad. I get amazed when I look at the story of David and Goliath. Because here was this vast army of some of the most trained and capable soldiers. Men who had been through battle after battle. They was well equipped with their armor. They had swords that were sharp enough to take a man's head off with just a blink of the eye. I mean, they were warriors. They were warriors. But when they came to face Goliath, they saw something bigger than they were. And they were scared to death. They were afraid, greatly afraid, because they didn't know the power of God. You know, they didn't know what God was able to do in circumstances where they were at the disadvantage. How many of you know what God is capable of doing when you are at disadvantage? When you are helpless in your flesh, when you have no control, those 5'8" Jews looked at that 9-foot Goliath and they were scared out of their wits and they knew they were no match for him. They knew he would take their heads off one at a time and never quiver. They couldn't even reach up high enough to get to his neck. Do you understand what I'm preaching to you this morning? Hallelujah. I want you to understand this battle we're in is the Lord's. I think our battle must be more like David's battle than any generation in America's history. Oh, we're in a war with hell. We're in a war with the darkness of the evil one. He hates the word of God. He hates every truth of this holy Bible. He hates every saint of God who lives a godly life. He hates the church of Jesus Christ. America right now is on a binge to destroy the Bible-believing church of this nation. Nobody doubts that. Just this week, the South Carolina ministers, along with the governor, called a prayer meeting to pray for the nation because it's in jeopardy. All over America, there are preachers, there are people who know something about God, who sense the jeopardy that America has reached in this particular era. We are in a dark situation. Our battle is incredible. Our battle is overwhelming. But I'm here to tell you that God is still God. He's still sovereign, and he's still mighty, and he knows no defeat, and he knows no loss of victory when men and women trust in him. Hallelujah. So here is the army of King Saul, and they're trembling and they're scared, and Saul goes so far as to offer his beautiful daughter to the man, the soldier who would go and kill Goliath. Offers his daughter as a gift to the soldier who would go and kill Goliath. Oh, he had reached a low point, brother. I mean, this Israeli crowd was in a real, real pickle. They were in a dark situation. But here comes little David. He's right. He's been out there on the shepherd's field watching after the sheep. He's killed a lion and he's killed a bear with bare hands because he was a man that believed in God's power. I wish there's some Davids in this building. Is anybody here would like to be a little David? Let me see your hand. Anybody like to be a little David? Would you like to be a little David? Well, let me tell you where to get to the place to be a little David is stay on your face with God. Stay somewhere in prayer. Give yourself in this holy book until it saturates every cell in your brain. I mean, give yourself to God. Well, here comes little David, and he hears the boast of this Goliath figure. He hears the cursing of his God and the blaspheming of Jehovah that he had known out on the shepherd's field. And he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the living God of the nation of Israel?" He said, "I'll go fight him." David, little old kid. I mean, maybe 16, 17. Bible don't tell us. Maybe less, maybe a little over. But he's still just a young man. He's about like the little fellow who was playing those drums over there a while ago. You know, about his age, about his size probably. Just a handsome little old kid. And I mean, he was a boy that was loved. David was a lovely person. And David says, "I'll go." And his brothers got fierce. Oh, did his brothers get angry at the pride, they called it, of David. You know, I'm amazed. We live in a day that if you do something for God and really do it with all your heart, somebody say you're doing it because you're proud. You get out there and try to win a victory, and I guarantee you, you're really fighting for God, and somebody will make fun of you. Oh, you're just trying to show off. That's right. Let me tell you one thing. I'd rather be a show off for God than nothing for the devil. Hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand out there. Where are you at this morning? Are you with me? Are you listening to me preach? Hallelujah. Well, little David, they wanted to put their armor on him and give him a big old sword. And David said, "I can prove this stuff. Just let me go like I am." Hallelujah. He walks down to the creek and gets him 5 smooth stones. A giant 9 foot tall. 5 smooth stones. A giant 9 foot tall, 5 smooth stones, pulls a slingshot out of his waistline and takes his slingshot and puts one of them stones in it. If that don't look pitiful, I've never seen. Hallelujah. You know what? If we'd ever come to that kind of faith and we'd ever get that kind of attitude about our work for God, wouldn't we be something? Hallelujah. How many of you believe you could kill a giant with a slingshot? How many of you believe that? The only way you can is if you know the God of that slingshot. Hallelujah. If you know the God of that battle. If you know the God of grace and mercy, hallelujah. And so little David has got his slingshot and is on his way up the hill now. And the giant is ferocious. Ah, they're sending a kid out to me. Who are you? I'll feed your carcass to the buzzards of the sky. That was the worst thing could happen to that old Goliath. He got angry and he got prideful and he got haughty and he says, I'll feed him, I'll feed him, I'll get him. And David moves on and at the right distance, he takes that slingshot and swings one little stone. If I understand the armor of those Philistinian warriors, there weren't many places he was vulnerable at, but there's one place right up here, right up here. And that slingshot and that stone went to its mark. And down fell the giant. And David didn't even have a sword. He had to go and take the sword out of the sheath of the giant. And he got up on top of him. That's the only way he could have reached his neck if the man would have been standing. But he was down. And David takes his sword and off comes his head. And the Philistine army flees in great fear because a little kid has destroyed their champion. Now, church, I want to tell you something this morning. We've got to learn that the battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. It's not yours. The power of God upon a human life is dynamo. Woo, hallelujah. Somebody shake yourself a little bit and act like you got some God about your life. Hallelujah. Are you really his? Are you really full of his Holy Ghost? Are you really his vessel? Have you given yourself over for the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God? Are you busy doing things for the master? Are you a man of prayer and fasting? Do you belong wholly to Christ? Well, that's what made the difference in David's life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wish you could believe what I'm preaching to you this morning, because I'm here to tell you we serve a mighty God. A mighty God. A mighty God. Now go back then to the book of Joshua. To Joshua and to his army. The first thing I want you to notice is when God gave Joshua the plan, they didn't alter that plan. That plan was God's plan. And there is absolute obedience. I mean, they march around that city. They don't say a word. They don't utter sounds. They don't make a noise. If there was any noise being made, it was the trembling inside the walls of Jericho. It wasn't these godly men and women outside the walls of Jericho. And they just simply obeyed. They just simply did what God said to do. They just went in the name of the Lord God Jehovah, the God of Israel. That's all they knew. Obey God. Do what God said do. Do it like God said do it. Now, there was people in the crowd who days later disobeyed and caused some great catastrophes. I don't know whether you read much of Joshua or not, but there's some sad stories in Joshua. Because there's people that though they saw the hand of God and the power of God, they still had selfish hearts. They had disobedient hearts. They wasn't walking clearly and obediently. But on this occasion, everything was in order. And God was having his way. Hallelujah. So they was obedient. And second, they wasn't just obedient. They absolutely was God dependent. They were God dependent. They were dependent on God. There was no possibility of confidence in themselves, not an iota of it. They depended wholly and utterly on God, and that was the source of their victory. They were dependent on God. And then last of all, they trusted God. They knew that God was faithful. Now, church, I want to tell you something. Listen at me. You can trust God. Let me see your hand if you really believe that. You can trust God. You say, well, I've never tried that. There's a lot of Christians have never tried it. They get in a financial situation, they'll borrow themselves into the poorhouse before they'll trust in God. They get in physical conditions, they'll spend everything they've got on a doctor before they'll trust in God. I don't care. We just live in a world that people do not trust God. And you know, I don't know how to say this as clearly and plainly as I want to say it. But we live in a world that does not trust God. They try to, but they can't seem to come to the point that they really turn things over to God. This morning I'm preaching to you that it's time for you to turn this whole thing over to God. You do everything God tells you to do. You do everything like God tells you to do it. You obey every word of this holy Bible. You please God with all your heart. But then you don't trust in your obedience. You don't trust in your goodness. You don't trust in the things that you know and you represent. You trust God. Oh, you raise your hand up there and trust Him. He is faithful. I'm here to tell you, He is faithful. He is faithful. Now, in closing, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to show you in closing how important it is. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, I want to say that so loud it ricochets in your mind for the rest of this week. I want to say that so loud that tomorrow you think about it. The battle is the Lord's. How many of you have some things in your life that are kindly in need of a miracle? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Anybody in the building? You got some things in your life that need a miracle. Raise it up high. I want you to hold it up there a minute. You got some things in your life that really need a miracle. You really have, haven't you? I don't think there's anybody that could possibly not have. But are you willing, in total obedience to God, to trust Him to fight the battles for you? Total obedience to God, you trust Him to fight the battle for you. Oh, hallelujah. Let me take you to Ephesians 6 and read you one verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not with that crazy boss man you got. Your battle. Anybody here work for me? The battle you've got is not with a neighbor that's out of control. The battle you've got is not with somebody in the IRS. Your battle is against the spirits of darkness and evil. Hallelujah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, spiritual powers, darkness, wicked powers, dark places, in dark spots of this world. I'm here to tell you, I've never been so aware of how the devil is active. He is out to destroy every bit of this Bible. You begin to stand on this Bible, and I'll guarantee you one thing, you're going to begin to fight the evil one. You start living in this Bible, and you're going to find the devil don't like the word of God. He'll do everything he can to destroy your faith, to destroy your confidence in the Bible. You've got to understand the devil is on the loose. I thought the devil was on a chain. He's restrained, but he's not so restrained that he can't do dark things. But his restraint will be soon, and it will be full and total. But right now, we're in a war with spiritual realm, the spiritual world. You got to understand that scripture. Everybody here ought to get that scripture written down in your mind so that you never forget it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My purpose with my church and my people is victory over the enemy as they trust in me. Your power is not in yourself. It's in that spirit that rests upon you and rests within you. If you will learn to walk in obedience, keep the laws of my great word, and live by my commandments, I will bless you and meet the needs of your life and fight your battles for you. I will heal your sick. I will be careful to meet your needs. And I will watch over you with a never-dying love, saith the Father, the Lord God, who cares for your soul. Hallelujah. Would you stand, please? Would you stand, please, in the name of the Lord? Will you stand quickly in the name of the Lord? Do you really trust Him? Do you really depend upon Him? Are you really leaning on God's power and God's majesty? Raise your hand and love on Him a little bit. Father, we're here to bless you this morning. We're here to worship you this morning. We're here to bring honor to your name. I want this church to know the victory of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Everybody say that together with me, will you? The battle is the Lord's. Oh, hallelujah. All right, now raise your hand and love on Him a minute. Father, we're just here to love on you. We want everybody in this building to learn the victory that's theirs in the Holy Ghost. We want everybody in this building to learn the strength and the power and the authority of God's great hand in our midst. We want to see this church turned upside down, Father, with great harvest, great harvest. I'm waiting on you, Lord, with all that's in me. Now, you raised your hand a while ago, almost every one of you, that there were things in your life that you are not sufficient for. There are battles that need to be fought. There's victories that need to be won. We're not going to have any music. We're just going to come right here to this altar, and we're going to give them over to God. So will you come? Everybody in the building that has any kind of a battle that you're fighting, I want you to bring it to God. Stand if you would. Stand if you please, or kneel. That's okay with me. Just obey God. Obey your heart. But I want to tell you something, church. We live in a dark day. We live in a day of battle. I mean, it's a warfare. It's a battle. It's a strong battle. Hallelujah. And so we come to cling to God with all of our heart. Father, heal the sick this morning. Somebody in this building needs a miracle. Somebody in this building needs a healing miracle. Somebody in this building, if you need a healing miracle, raise your hand up. Would you? You need a healing miracle. Raise up your hand. I want to see your hand. You need a healing miracle. You really need a healing miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Then we're going to anoint you, okay? We're going to believe God to heal you. Let's everybody pray. Pray with all your heart, brethren. I love the men to lead prayer for me and help me. Hallelujah. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of Jesus of Nazareth.